J&M, how may I help?
Polly, you're not going to believe what we just got in the office.
Betty Sue, you tell me and you tell me right now.
An IP-hosted PBX that is customizable to our needs.
What will they think of next? That's so swell.
And it's affordable.
That's so neat. You sure are lucky, Betty Sue. We're still stuck in the past.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX solution for your business that offers fantastic savings. Available from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by South Africa's technology news leader at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod, and as usual, I'm here with Craig Wilson. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
So there is so much to talk about this week that we've actually decided that we're going to narrow it down a bit.
Pare it down to just the finest, yeah.
There's been such a volume of stuff happening since we recorded the last show, which I think was 3 weeks ago now. But let's get straight into it. The Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, this morning, the Department of Communications announced that we're going to withdraw it, which I think is going to be welcomed by many people in the industry.
Absolutely.
It was certainly panned by legal experts and by
industry insiders, by pretty much anyone really who had a look at it and had any sort of interest in it.
Yes. In fact, the GSM Association, which is the powerful global industry body for mobile operators, panned it and said that it was just bad news, taking spectrum management out of the independent regulator, namely ICASA, and centralizing it in the office of the Minister of Communications. Now, the Department of Communications hasn't actually said why they have withdrawn the amendment bill. Well, just for a bit of background, the amendment bill, of course, is the first major change that's being proposed by government to the 2005 Electronic Communications Act, which really governs the telecommunications industry. And one of the contentious clauses in there, the most contentious clauses in there, related to centralizing spectrum, control of spectrum in South Africa in the Ministry of Communications. Lawyers, I think you spoke to Kathleen Rice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr.
So she suggested that it may even be unconstitutional to suggest that sort of change because I think it's Section 9 under which the ICASA or the regulator's right is sort of protected?
Certainly, it's known as a Chapter 9 institution or the broadcasting aspect of ICASA because the constitution specifically refers to an independent broadcaster. It doesn't refer to the telecommunications regulator.
Right, but the suggestion was that as they're covered under the same body that it might might be applicable, yeah.
Of course, back in those days, or shortly after the constitution was drafted, we had the IBA, the Independent Broadcasting Authority, which was later merged to form SATRA, the SA Telecommunications Regulatory Authority, which later became
merged itself with something to become ICASA.
Yes, and the postal regulator was folded in there as well, so it became a super regulator for the communications industry broadly. But it's back to the drawing board. But as I say, we don't know why government has withdrawn it. They just say that they are going to have further consultations within government about the amendment bill.
I think it was also the GSM or the GSMA that said that the other problem or the other worry with it was that were the ministry to administer spectrum itself, it could well allocate it to people who wouldn't use it to the maximum sort of potential, as we've seen happen in fairness with Centec and its failure to sort of use the very, very desirable spectrum in the, 2.5 or 2.6 gigahertz band. There was that incident with Screamer Telecom, which we've been talking about this week too, and the sort of hot water that landed them in, licensing it out to them without really the authority to do so. But I think the point is that we don't really want to see spectrum allocation left up to government because unfortunately its track record with it has been less than exemplary to date.
Yeah, no, it is actually rather concerning that this idea has been mooted because there is the very real danger that government will issue the spectrum to its own state-owned enterprises, you know, companies like Broadband Infra and Centec, which really haven't covered themselves in glory in recent years.
Indeed.
Needs to be in the hands of an independent regulator that's going to allocate the spectrum in the most efficient way to the operators that are going to make best use of it. And I would suggest those are private sector operators and not government enterprises.
Indeed. And of course, the debate still continues about how that spectrum allocation should happen in the first place. And it's always a problem with a sort of finite resource when there are far more interested parties than there is resource to go around.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see what sort of model is adopted to allocate the spectrum to. But either way, heels need to stop being dragged about this. Mm. It's the other thing we keep getting from commentators is people just saying that all of this time spent with spectrum not being used and essentially lying fallow is wasted opportunities for growing the local economy.
Yes. And the Department of Communications still has to come up with the policy. I forget what it's actually called, the policy of the I think it's the rules around digital migration,
right,
which everyone's waiting for before we can proceed to really start moving on the move from analog to digital terrestrial television. And that's a big problem because the operators are desperate for access to that spectrum, the digital dividend bands below 900 megahertz, so that they can start rolling out LTE and similar services into the more rural areas.
And that's the great sort of sadness about it, is that it's the rural areas that stand to benefit most from this migration. But, you know, the longer it takes, the longer they have to wait.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's the Department of Communications is moving at glacial pace on these issues. The ICASA is waiting on them around the 2.6 and... which are the spectrums that they're going to be auctioning off? It's 2.6 and 3.5 gigahertz. It's just it's just going on too long. I mean, there was supposed to be an auction this year, and it's now clearly not going to happen until next year.
No, indeed.
And it's a problem because and these guys need access to spectrum. I mean, MTN is already deploying LTE, but they're doing it.
They're having to reallocate existing
spectrum to do it, which is far from ideal. And you know, it's rather challenging to reform spectrum, especially in urban areas where the network is already fairly congested.
Absolutely.
But, I don't think Vodacom can do it at all because they've just got so many users on that 1800 megahertz band that
they can't
really spare much of it. No, certainly not in the dense urban areas like Sandton and the Cape Town CBD.
Absolutely. But the sort of, and those are also, of course, the places they'd most want to test something like LTE.
Yeah.
But the sort of missing deadlines or glacial pace is a problem for another issue too, of course, and that's the local loop unbundling that we were going to talk about. You know, that date was meant to be somewhat not resolved, but we were meant to have some firm answers by the end of this month.
Well, the Roy Paddy, actually, the former communications minister, set a deadline of this month for local loop unbundling to happen.
Absolutely, and clearly that is not going to happen by Wednesday.
The regulator said earlier this year that it would put out regulations by the end of this month. Now I had a conversation with them this week, and they said, oh, no, all they're going to be issuing by the end of this month is a framework/discussion document, and that the regulations will in fact only follow next year now.
After that discussion document has been discussed ad nauseum,
yes,
of course.
Yes. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's a history of this industry for the past 10 years. Is that no deadlines ever get met.
No.
And it's a problem because this industry moves at an incredible speed, and it ends up holding back South Africa and its ability to innovate because the regulatory and policy environment is just not moving quickly enough to allow for that sort of innovation and for the networks to be deployed, etc., etc. So yeah, I don't know what else we can say about that, except it's rather disillusioning, I suppose.
It is, and it's just sad that the bureaucracy makes it move so much slower, because as you said, this is an industry that can make enormous changes in a matter of months, really.
Yes.
I mean, you know, just in the last sort of 6 months to a year, there have been such enormous shifts, and unfortunately, the government mechanisms simply aren't designed or constructed in a way that makes them able to keep up.
Mm. Indeed. Good. Well, kind of related to LLU, let's talk a bit about Telkom and ADSL. We broke an important story on Tech Central. When was it? Last week now, I think.
Yeah.
About their plans. We were privy to some internal Telkom documents, which show that they've got plans over the next few years to launch 20 and 40 megabit per second services as part of what they're calling an NGNEC project. And they're going to be offering over-the-top content services, and they're keen to talk to companies like Netflix, Nangu, I forget the other one that they mentioned, but these guys who provide IPTV and video on demand type services. So it's really good, I think, that to see Telkom moving in this direction. Their results this week showed, the interim results this week showed that they are a company that is moving backwards in terms of financial, certainly in terms of financial performance. They need to do something quite dramatic if they're going to hold on to their market share and stop this erosion to the mobile operators. And the market is getting much more competitive. So it's great news to see that they're actually starting to make more effective use of this last mile of copper cable. They've gotten offering higher speeds. We know they've gone uncapped now on both business and consumer DSL services. I think that under Nombolelo Moholi, the new CEO, they're certainly moving in the right direction, certainly making the right noises. The big question, I wrote this in my column this week, is whether Moholi is going to be able to turn around this lumbering beast that is Telkom. It's not an easy job.
No.
But certainly they're making the right noises. And I think that if they are able to introduce these much higher speed products at reasonable prices and offer these over-the-top services, it'll keep consumers sweet, potentially.
Yes. No, I think, as you said, that's the best thing to come out of the story, really, is that it gives you the impression that Telkom has a plan and they are at least trying to really turn things around. And I think it's also particularly exciting that they've seen the value in entering, you know, sectors that they perhaps previously haven't really worked in, like these video on demand or subscription based content delivery services, because that is also where a lot of the money is to be made, as operators are finding out too. You know, there's far more money in apps for mobile phones than there is in being a mobile operator providing the means for people to get to them. It's content is in many ways the most lucrative part of any of these industries now. The actual provisioning of services is becoming very difficult to make any real money in.
Yeah. And certainly Telkom is in a strong position relative to the mobile operators, because offering high definition video on demand over fixed lines is much easier than doing it over, in fact, I strongly suspect it's not possible to do it over mobile, just because the networks are so congested.
Indeed.
And the radio access network isn't really tailored for that sort of thing.
No, and the quality of service isn't sufficiently consistent.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll see it down the line once LTE is, once we've moved on to LTE Advanced and you know, these real next generation 4G mobile technologies, perhaps those are going to be able to allow us to watch or to get video services on demand. But certainly under the first generation LTE and the current 3G networks, there's no possibility of it.
Well,
it's clever positioning by Telkom to take advantage of this network and offer the sort of services that its rivals in mobile can't.
Absolutely. And there was a hint too, actually, when you mentioned that LTE option. There was a hint from an ATA executive I spoke to last week, who was talking about Telkom looking at LTE and similar technologies as a way to potentially even leapfrog copper and provide some of that last mile access in areas where it's not otherwise possible or practical, and to get around the problems facing copper, whether it's a degrading network or areas where it's so likely to be stolen that they're actually reluctant to replace it anymore.
It's going to be interesting to see how they manage this copper network going into the future. I still believe that in the near term future, certainly within the next five years or so, Telkom is going to have to look at an aggressive fiber to the home rollout if it's going to continue to be able to compete and not just become another mobile operator. The copper is challenging. Here at the Tech Central office, if we can get a maximum line speed of 3 megabits a second, I know I speak to journalist colleagues, IT journalists, who say that at their homes they've got all sorts of problems with copper and they can't get the sort of speeds on offer. So I suspect this is going to become more and more of a problem as Telkom boosts these speeds and the quality of copper becomes an issue. And the question then becomes, is Telkom actually going to go through a process of replacing copper into people's homes where the quality of that copper has degraded?
Sure.
Or
the other problem is, of course, they face a potential backlash from consumers, because some of said journos and colleagues that I've spoken to are rather annoyed that they are forced to pay for a service where they actually cannot get close to what they're paying for.
Yes.
And if you're only getting 3 meg down, you still have to pay for a 4 meg line.
Yes.
Even though you literally cannot get the service on offer, you know, there are no in between offerings.
No.
And you certainly don't want a 1 meg line.
No.
This is going to be a problem, because it's also in terms of, I mean, one has to wonder, even in terms of the Consumer Protection Act, how this would sort of work, in the sense that, you know, people are being forced to take a service that they and pay for it in full when they aren't getting the full benefits of it.
Well, I know that Nombolelo Moholi, the Telkom CEO, has got the same problem. She told me last year that the maximum line speed she can get into her house, because of the quality of the copper in her area, is 512 kilobits a second.
Sure. So we're actually, comparatively, we're doing quite well here.
Yeah, indeed. But as we go to these higher speeds and as high-end consumers start to demand them, I think Telkom is going to have to look at some sort of strategy or some sort of way to market to actually deal with this issue. But replacing copper is expensive.
Sure.
Doing it on sort of an ad hoc basis is going to be very pricey indeed.
And an administrative nightmare to do it piece by piece. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So what do they do with those customers? Do they put fiber into their homes?
We can only hope.
I say grinning.
Yes.
So let's move on. Let's not move on, because I wanted to chat a little bit about MWeb's announcement this morning,
yes.
Which was rather cheeky, I thought, and it's really going to get Telkom's back up. They're launching a campaign, Free the Web, which they've been punting for a while on other issues, but now they're talking about what they colloquially call naked ADSL. It's not pornographic in any way. They're really talking about separating the line rental from ADSL line rental. At the moment, if you're an ADSL subscriber, you have to have a basic telephone line rental as well. MWeb is arguing that that's not fair, doesn't make sense, and may in fact be contrary to the consumer protection legislation.
Indeed.
And they've put out a YouTube video this morning, which is quite interesting. And they've launched a Facebook page to really push for this, so online petitions and that sort of thing. They really want consumers to be able to choose ADSL only and not have to go for the voice line option as well.
Indeed, and in theory, they're not the only ones calling for this, and there is a lot of merit to that. You know, I've, for example, for a long time now, I've lived in a house with a telecom line that doesn't get used for anything other than data.
Mm.
And we are obliged to pay for a telephone line, and we literally don't have a handset.
Mm.
I know a number of people who have a similar issue, that they only have a telecom line for internet, and they certainly resent having to pay for a service they don't use. Of course, Telkom, meanwhile, argues that it makes a loss on these lines to start with. And that it's not even covering its own costs. But I think a lot of people would like to see those separated and would like to be able to get ADSL alone. I certainly am one of them.
Yes. It raises an interesting question, though. If Telkom says it can't cover its costs on these lines, it sort of brings up questions about Telkom's efficiencies and cost structure. Maybe something needs to be done on that side of things rather than bringing up this so-called access deficit issue around unbundling and all the rest of it, and one wonders whether where Telkom is approaching this from the wrong angle. Maybe it needs to be rather focusing on reducing its high cost base.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's another discussion altogether. Anyway, Craig, we need to take a quick break there. We'll be back right after these messages.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Blitzky and Son. Oh, hey there. Please hold while I transfer you.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a swell new system. You call me and I transfer you. Hold on a tick. Chuck,
yeah.
Do me a solid and take this to Mr. Pete.
Sure thing.
Chuck, don't trip over. The cord.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX solution for your business that offers fantastic savings. Available from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by South Africa's technology news leader at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. So Craig, yet another high-capacity undersea fiber cable system is coming to our shores.
It just seems like this is the announcement we get every couple of months.
I just can't believe it. I thought that with the announcement of the SAX cable between us and Brazil and the ACE cable, there would be no more demand for additional cable systems. But this new cable, which is called WASACE, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, WASACE or WASACE or
WASACE.
WASACE, yes. It's being built by an international consortium, and it's going to be one of the longest cable systems in the world. In fact, it's not just going to be connecting South Africa, it's going to be running up to Angola, across to Brazil, up to North America, and then across the North Atlantic to Europe.
Oh, there's so many now, you have to find new claims to fame. Yes.
So it's going to be a heck of a system. Details are a bit sketchy at this stage. We don't know the design capacity of the system. We don't know who's going to be building it or when it's going to go live. But what's interesting is that it's going to follow at least partially the same route as the South Atlantic Express, or SAX cable, which is being a project being led by E5 Telecoms and its CEO, Lawrence Mulawudzi, who, funnily enough, I saw in the Sunday Times last week, is getting married to Mamadupi Motlala, the National Consumer Commissioner.
Right.
Interesting development. The SAX cable is 12.8 terabit per second cable.
Sure.
It's the highest capacity cable so far. It's going to run from Fortaleza in Brazil across to Luanda and Angola and then down the South African coastline to Cape Town. And I think, if I recall correctly, around the South African coast to Mtanzini on the KwaZulu-Natal North Coast. So it'll actually be the first cable system, as far as I know, there is another one. There's the SAT-3 safe system, which currently connects south of the country, but that's not a particularly high capacity system. I think it's only got a capacity of, on that route, used to be 130 gigabits a second. It may have increased with the newer fiber optic technology, but it's certainly nowhere near the capacity that they're talking about for the SAX project. So yeah, there's going to be so much bandwidth coming into this country and into the African continent more generally. I mean, you've got teams up near Kenya, you've got Seacom and Easy both operating along the east coast. Next year we've got WAX, ACE, SAX in 2013, and now WASACE or WASASI, whatever it's going to be.
And to think we managed on one for so long.
Yes. Yes. The exciting thing for me is that this will inevitably flow down into infrastructure investment, terrestrial infrastructure investment across the continent. And then we're already seeing that companies like Liquid Telecom here in South Africa, we're seeing the big operators investing, Dark Fiber Africa investing. And I think we're just going to see more and more of this fiber going in the ground. And then eventually it's going to flow down to lower broadband prices and more access.
Indeed, I think it's great. And that's what we were talking about before, is the challenge now really is figuring out how to utilize all of it.
Because
as you said, it's the terrestrial networks that at this rate aren't going to be able to to match the available capacity.
But I really think, I mean, back in the late 1990s, you saw a glut of capacity being built across the North Atlantic, you know, around the dot-com era, boom times.
Indeed.
You saw massive investments in undersea cables and prices fell to below cost. For a number of years, those cables are now filling up pretty quickly.
Yes.
And I think we're seeing this is going to be one of the first, as far as I know, new North Atlantic cable systems between North America and Europe to be built in a while. So that suggests that those cable systems that were built 10 years ago have filled up. So
maybe they're reaching saturation and they have to.
Maybe in 10 years we'll see WAX and ACE and WASASI and whatever it's called, and Easy and Safe and all the rest of them actually being filled up.
We can only hope, yeah.
Good. So the other big news this week, and I think before we close the show off, is Business Connection withdrew its cautionary notice, which it had published three times through the JSE SENS news service. Very strong speculation, which I've heard from a number of sources, is that they were in serious discussions with Orange, which is the big
French telecoms giant.
France Telecom, yeah. Analysts, when I polled them about it a couple of months ago when the rumours first broke that BCX was in talks with Orange, said it would be a great deal because there's so much complementary between these two businesses, and you know, it's a merger of an IT business and telecoms business and this whole convergence thing everyone's talking about, and would also allow BCX to expand its operations in Africa where Orange has a presence. Orange operates mobile networks in a number of Francophone African countries.
It just seemed to make sense on so many levels.
Yeah. So, we still don't know what happened there. The speculation is Orange. We don't know for certain that it was, but it certainly seems likely. We don't know what led to Orange walking away from the talks. Maybe they found something during their due diligence that they didn't like. Maybe the two companies just didn't see eye to eye. Who knows?
Indeed. And if they were, though, it may well not be the last we hear from them, because if they expressed an interest, they may do so again, perhaps in another company.
They may indeed. They may indeed. So watch this space. The other interesting thing, of course, was on Monday, Telkom announced alongside their interim results that they were again considering buying an ICT asset in the South African market. So you'll remember around 2006, they made a 2.5 billion rand odd offer to buy Business Connection.
That subsequently didn't materialize,
but because only because the competition authorities said they were going to block the deal.
Indeed, which will be interesting to see how they get around that this time.
Well, this is a very changed market, so indeed, maybe and there's justification in allowing a deal like that now.
Absolutely, and arguably it perhaps wouldn't present the threat to sort of competition that it would have back then.
Mm. The question is BCX the right target for Telkom, or should they be going after someone else? I mean, BCX is a very big swallow. With NTT buying Dimension Data and Telkom wanting to get more into the business services market, you know, cloud computing and managed services and all these sorts of things, they do need to look to do something. Whether BCX is the right target, who knows?
It's a case of finding the right fit too, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, it's not surprising. It's the same as this talk of Telkom looking to get into content services. I mean, clearly it's just looking to expand the sectors that it's involved in.
It has to because its core business is the margins in its core business
are just getting slimmer and slimmer.
Are getting slimmer and slimmer, and will continue to do so no matter what they do, because competition is going to intensify more and more.
Indeed, and the network is going to continue to need maintenance.
Yes.
And that's not going to get cheaper at a rate comparable with the rate at which prices are having to drop.
But this is quite normal. I mean, incumbent operators, fixed line operators around the world have been through the same process. Even Telkom admits that in its in the slides that has accompanied its results on Monday. It said that it's in talks to sell 20% of its business to Korea's KT Corp.
KT, yeah.
Precisely, well, one of the reasons they listed was that KT went through the same challenges that Telkom is facing now 10 years ago.
Although, yeah, I did see some people taking umbrage with the suggestion when they said that KT had gone through such similar scenarios. I did see some comments saying that they thought Korea was a somewhat different market, and that perhaps the similarities weren't that close.
Yeah, there's something they described it as a culturally similar market. I also sort of took a double take when I read that. Korea and South Africa are very different markets indeed.
In fairness, I mean, that mention of a 20% stake to KT, it was rather exciting news when it emerged that those talks were happening a couple of weeks ago. If nothing else, because KT has done such a sterling job in Korea.
Yes.
And turned Korea into, I mean, I gather it, the Korea and Japan jockey for position as the sort of having the best internet. And it's quite a point of pride with them as well. And if we could get that sort of, a fifth, say 20% of that spirit, it could do amazing things. I mean, KT has rolled out the most incredible network of fiber to the home around Korea, and certainly from a very different starting point. But also, as we said, a state operator that needed to reinvent itself to remain sustainable and profitable. And there are certainly many lessons that Telkom could take from KT. Of course, whether they'd have any luck getting a move to sell a 20% stake past the unions remains to be seen, because the little we've spoken to the unions about it, they have expressed in no uncertain terms their outrage at the suggestion to sell off a fifth of it to an international.
Yeah, well, let's not get onto that, because my blood is going to start boiling if we talk about this. Kasatu and all the rest of them. Anyway, we're almost at half an hour, so I think, Craig, we'll call it there. And until next time, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can always email us at info@techcentral.co.za. That's info@techcentral.co.za. From Craig and myself, until next time, have a great week. Cheers. Mm-hmm.